A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here with you for another hour. We're live here at the Decoy hanging out. Brian McDonald and Joel Blank will be here until 6 o'clock. One recent news item that just happened in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins are signing Kendall Fuller to a two-year, $16.5 million contract, so one of the top corners left in free agency.
Definitely makes you feel better about potentially bringing back Steven Nelson or signing another cornerback if that's the going rate for the top corner on the market.
Yeah, and that was and Kendall Fuller was a name that was popping up kind of on Texans, you know, Twitter websites, someone of interest to keep an eye on, but now he's off the board, so we'll see. I don't think they're done at the cornerback room. I think they'll get another veteran here at some point, and because I just can't imagine Okuda is your starting corner, right now on the other side of Derek Stingley Jr. That would surprise me.
Yeah, he's got to compete for it. You can't give that to him. Somebody else, I hope, competes with him too, because everything that I've heard, I know specifically hearing Lance talk about it on John and Lance, is that this is a guy who's had issues picking up just basic coverage principles. That's probably why he's been on three teams in as many years since joining the league.
Yeah, hearing Lance talk about Okuda, it's the one signing, the one move that Nick Caceres made this offseason that I don't love. You know, I really hope that he's a fourth corner on this team almost. And whether that's through the draft or another move in free agency, I would just like to see them make another move, because Lance is I'm out on him. 0061 Paul Gallant and Boy George. I heard that one a lot too growing up. Boy George.
What is Boy George? I don't know what that is. I've heard it used a lot.
Is it person?
Okay. Is it George Michael or something? I'm looking this up. Boy George. Singer, songwriter, and actor.
I was trying to think how to describe Boy George.
He likes makeup.
Yeah, yes.
He likes makeup.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah,
you
I wasn't
like
sure
being called Boy George? What's wrong with that? He's clearly fabulous.
Yeah, I think he was the only one I wasn't totally sure on how to describe that one to you. So no, I don't love it, Paul. It's not my favorite. So what holds the Texans back the most in 2024? If there's gonna be something that all the the Good Morning Football, Patrick Peterson, as they're talking about it, of could they be this trendy pick to go to the Super Bowl?
The hipster Super Bowl.
Pick. Like, could they? But just to even win the division, what do you think could hold the Texans back the most? As just you look at them right now, really trying to take away health as an option and the schedule.
They struggled against bad quarterbacks last year.
Yeah.
So I think the secondary is currently constructed. I like Derek Stingley a lot. I thought he was great last season when he was healthy. But health, always a question with him, right? To this point in his career, that has been a problem. And then after him, in your secondary, who do you rely on? Is it going to be Jimmy Ward, who barely played last year? Is it going to be Jalen Petrie coming off of a down year? Is it your second corner, who isn't even on the roster right now, and Steven Nelson? This team regularly got beat deep on plays. It's the secondary.
Yeah.
If they struggled against bad quarterbacks and really only went up against last year Joe Burrow,
Lamar Jackson
twice,
Trevor Lawrence.
Lawrence is one of the better quarterbacks they went up against last year.
Yeah.
The secondary is my big question. You hope that the pass rush erases a lot of that. The pass rush has definitely improved. Pass rushing wins you Super Bowls, but the secondary is, I would say, right now, the weakness of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll look at the offensive side of the ball. To me, it's the wide receiver room is where I still think I have the most questions on the offense, because even though I love the talent that they have on paper, and I think C.J. Stroud can elevate most of that room himself, Nico Collins looks like a one in the NFL, looks like a top guy. Tank Dell, my issue there is just the question is of health. When he's out there, we know how good they are. But when he left the field last year, the offense struggled to score 20 points a game. They brought back Noah Brown, who had the two big games, but for the most part was kind of mediocre around that. You have Robert Woods still on the roster, which surprises me. I don't think that'll last through training camp, but he's a kind of a non-factor. Mechie, to no fault of his own, is a non-factor. And he really was until he might have had his best game against the Ravens in the playoffs, or maybe it was against the Browns in the playoffs. And then you have Xavier Hutchinson, who seems like a gadget guy. So I think the wide receiver room still needs some help a little bit.
I disagree. They're fine.
I think they need more. I don't know if it's just
fantasy football boy.
No,
over here.
It's more about the Tank Dell injury part of how bad the offense looked without him last year. I think you need another guy.
Still look good against the Browns. Supposedly the best defense in the NFL.
You're right. And then they couldn't score the next week.
Right.
That's the big thing. Is
it was tough to move the football against the Colts as well the week before.
Yeah. So it's just that. It's what happens if you lose Tank Dell. And I know that's like a scared mindset to be looking at this team and this offense, but as much as I like Noah Brown, I would have liked them to elevate that third wide receiver spot. So in case Tank gets hurt, you have some more protection.
I get that, but I mean you have bigger holes, and you're not gonna have a perfect roster. And I mean I'll just go back to the secondary. If Derek Stingley gets hurt, what do you have there? You have nothing. You really have nothing. And I mean, that should be concerning. At least if Tank Dell gets hurt, you have Nico Collins. If Nico Collins gets hurt, you have Tank Dell.
That's true.
You have Dalton Schultz. Noah Brown has produced. I really do not know what happens if Derek Stingley gets injured this season.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, it's just the wide receiver room. I think they could use a little more talent. I mean, I hope Noah Brown can do more. The other part of it, too, is how in are you on Bobby Slowick? We've never really talked about that.
I'm pretty in, I think. I think sometimes he gets too cute. I think he's a little bit overrated in terms of his overall standing among assistant coaches, but he did a great job with a rookie quarterback. I think some of the motion stuff that they do, it feels extra to the point of unnecessary.
Yeah.
At certain moments of time.
Yeah, it is a... That's where I really do agree with you, the too cute part. I hope that
like
goes
one
away.
Play, there's like one play a game. If you make that go away entirely, is that going to make Bobby Slowick more conservative or something like that? Let your freak flag fly, if you will. But there's always like one play a game, and I'm like, what do you do? You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I feel like Larry David watching the play actually unfolding. What is this?
Yeah, but the big one I always go back to is that first fourth and one. Against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Like, it was just a disaster.
Oh, my God.
They were so bad on fourth and short and in the red zone last year. They can't do that again this year.
They did the cute stuff that they did when they got on the Ravens side of the field. It was, I think, the first play. And that ultimately led to, was it a missed field goal or a punt? I forget the actual sequence. But I remember they just ran this weird-ass play, like, right on the other side of the field. And it put them in a really difficult second and long situation. And then they were never able to overcome that and actually score points.
Yeah, Willie asked on Twitch, do either of you think Mechie or Damian Pierce is going to come back and do anything next year?
I don't know with Mechie, but Pierce, I think there's a chance.
Really?
Yeah, I've brought this up a couple times. I think there's a chance with Damian Pierce.
I would lean Mechie. I think that...
If you like Mechie, then again, like you keep...
No, but
of the
two options.
Okay.
I think there's a better chance you get more out of Mechie next year than Pierce.
He was a first-round pick at one point, and, I mean, he came off of a torn ACL.
So he
and
fell, yeah.
Cancer.
Yeah, that's where it's... I hope I'm wrong about... I hope that Mechie... That's where... He could be a game-changer for this team.
Game-changer?
If he can be what you wanted him to be coming out of college, that's a really... special football player, I still think.
Then what's realistic?
That's a good question. That feels like an impossible question to answer, Paul, just because of what he's gone through. Because if he is what you want him to be coming out of college, you might have one of the top three wide receiver rooms in the NFL. Because he could be an elite slot wide receiver for this team, a good possession guy underneath, a good balance for what you want Tank and Nico to be. He can push the ball down the field, too. This is a guy who was, you know, he was a gunner on the punt team at Alabama. So I would, if he can, you know, after everything he's already overcome, take that to the next step and be the John Metchie he was in college and what you hoped he would be when you drafted him.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I mean, it would be awesome.
It seems so unlikely.
Very unlikely. If you watch him out there, the tricky thing with him is, like, what does he do that sets him apart from the guy who's covering him? Like, is he quick? Is he fast? He does not just jump off the field in terms of his tape.
And he's the
not
pop the, is gone.
And he's not the biggest guy. Right, exactly. I don't see the zip, the quickness that you obviously see in Tank Dell. And, okay, maybe unfair to compare him to Tank Dell, but, I mean, going into the season where he was a rookie, if John Metchie doesn't go through all that stuff, you're comparing him to Tank Dell. I mean, you're taking Metchie every single time. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Texans question here. What happens with Mills? Isn't he due for a new contract? Not this year. Next year. He'll be gone. He'll be off the team. Davis Mills will be on another team in 2025.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel like they're viewing him as the backup.
I wouldn't be shocked. I have a take here.
Hit me.
I wouldn't be shocked if Davis Mills gets cut because they draft a quarterback this year.
Why would they draft a quarterback?
It's what the Patriots did. It's the Patriot way. The Patriots drafted quarterbacks all the time
during
the Tom Brady era.
Right.
They would take rookie quarterbacks late in the draft that really all they are is they know they're a backup. And they're cheap. And then as soon as their contract runs up, they let them leave. Or on the chance your quarterback gets hurt, that quarterback plays well, and they flip them. So I think they might take a quarterback this year.
I don't know.
It upset a lot of people.
I feel like they would upset the ownership group, though, to the point where they would veto that. I feel like the ownership would not sign off on drafting that. And, okay, maybe they have full autonomy, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, from Texans ownership, but I don't think Texans ownership, especially this year, would be happy if they drafted a quarterback anywhere close to the top of the draft.
What if it was like one of their 3 7th-rounders they have?
Oh, yeah, but those aren't even real people, basically. No offense to 6th and 7th-rounders, Tom Brady, but like
Brock Purdy's a real person?
Yeah, but you know.
Oh, no, I'm talking strictly a backup quarterback.
Okay, if this is a 7th-round pick, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised if Davis Mills is not on this roster. If they draft a quarterback, because that's what Nick Caserio and the Patriots did for so long, and
man,
it's a great strategy. You should draft a quarterback every other year in the NFL.
I can't believe you're giving up on Davis Mills, man.
What did he give you?
I'm being sarcastic. He did not give you anything except for me a headache because there was a weird amount of people that still believed in him going into last year thinking that
awesome.
Mills should be the starting quarterback.
I love those people.
Did anyone on the air say that?
No, not on this station.
Okay, good. I'm just checking.
No. No.
They're like, oh, Mills has got to start the year and CJ Stroud has to earn that role.
No, I remember Jeremy was at training camp, and even he was like, even if CJ has a mediocre day at camp, it's so clearly better than anything Davis Mills could ever, ever, ever do at practice.
Mills can throw the football like a mile.
Great.
Well, I'm just saying. And so could Kyle Bowler.
And he could see over a long fence with his neck.
He's got a big old neck.
And he can win you games that you shouldn't win. That's what Davis Mills can do for you.
Hey, Davis Mills had a couple of plays last year. Much like, you know, we talk about how, it's bad that I'm already forgetting his name. David Hensley had that big walk. And John Singleton had that big walk. Davis Mills had a couple of plays when C.J. Stroud was concussed. Davis Mills came in. Davis Mills did his job. Davis Mills got off the field. Now, Davis Mills also had one of the worst Hail Marys I think I've ever seen in my life that almost led to the Texans losing that game against the Titans.
Yeah.
That was a disaster. He lost so many yards. He's holding the football out like a loaf of bread.
They
dude,
take Case
doing?
Keenum off the field and not throw the Hail Mary.
But it made
Davis
sense.
Mills, but then Davis Mills does that.
He's got a cannon, man.
That was a wild play by Davis Mills.
Oh. He can throw the ball through the roof of NRG Stadium. But they won't let him.
It's funny we mentioned
they won't let a white man be quarterback in Houston anymore.
We mentioned John Metchie. We had this segment planned out a little bit earlier, but so I have a question for the audience.
Hit me, baby.
For Paul. If you could choose one Houston athlete that has really struggled or just totally failed to live up to their potential to reach their full potential in 2024, who's your answer? We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
All right, so behind the scenes here, we're doing some computer improvements at the station, so we're doing some different things technically, and for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's louder in certain things, Sean, obviously you're not doing anything wrong, but Paul has gotten super jumpy in the last, like, 2 minutes. Yes. Right as we went to break, and then right as we came back, you jumped like you were scared or something.
It feels like my ears are a little extra sensey right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's not necessarily the technology stuff. It's just your ears are a little sensitive.
I'm just going to blame Sean for it, though.
Yeah, it's always Sean's
fault.
Instead
of being a little sensey little baby.
Yeah. So if you can have one player in any of the Houston, you know, any of the teams, Rockets, Texans, Astros, one player that's not lived up to their potential since they got here that can fully reach that this year, in 2024, who are you choosing?
There has to be an active player?
Yeah. What other option would you give me?
Well, we could go down a real rabbit hole with that. I'm just making sure it's an active player. Kenyon Green.
Okay.
I mean, he's a first-round pick at the interior of the offensive line, and it makes me feel a lot better about the interior of the offensive line than I do right now. So Kenyon Green's definitely up there. As far as the Astros go...
Yeah, Astros is interesting. So we got a couple texts here already. So for the Texans, 6889 says Damian Pierce. That's an interesting answer because they have Joe Mixon now.
Pierce
is
a mid-round draft pick too. Like I think the fact that he has been a successful pro is he has delivered on the promise. He wasn't thought to be the next Barry Sanders.
Yeah. You weren't expecting him to be this dominant running back in the NFL. What you got out of his rookie year, and even just the kick return touchdown last year, there's enough moments from Damian Pierce where even if he's barely on this team and barely active, I would still consider that a successful draft pick for Nick Caserio. Like, yes, you had to go trade for Joe Mixon to make it better, and Devin Singletary was a cheap option, but not every late-round running back draft pick, as much as we want them to be, is going to be this huge hit in the NFL. So I'm good with Damian Pierce as what he's been for this team.
Astros, John Singleton.
Okay.
He's still on the team. I mean, they gave him a contract before he played.
That's an outside-the-box
answer,
but...
That's never happening, but, I mean, that would be really funny, right? If all of a sudden John Singleton just goes God mode and starts yordonging stuff.
I mean, when he rips them out of the ballpark, they go flying.
The problem is that's rare. Well, except for that one game.
We got a bunch of different Astros.
Some are saying Lance McCullers. I think that one, Lance has given you what you wanted. The injuries have been the problem. So I suppose a healthier Lance McCullers, that's a pretty good one.
And he's lived up to his potential of who he was.
Right. It's just he's just had the worst injury luck. So I don't know if it's that fits into the this question that you're asking, like who hasn't lived up to the potential. Do you wish lived up to the potential?
What about Jose Abreu from the 925?
He had a good finish of the year, and he's had a great career already.
Yeah, so he's more...
He's an MVP, former MVP.
Yeah,
right?
Fraudulent.
Why is it fraudulent? Because, I forgot. Here's Cubs Joe here.
No.
Cubs JoJo.
No. Here's the thing. This is not a Cubs
How dare you slander Jose Abreu.
This is not
Astro
a Cubs
legend.
There are certain things that if you're going to call fraudulent, everything is fraudulent. If you're going to stand on the table and call the Dodgers 2020 World Series fraudulent, then Jose Abreu's 2020 MVP also fraudulent. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
You can't.
You don't understand how to be a fan.
I do.
We live in the United States of America. Hypocrisy is everywhere.
It is.
So you embrace it.
But if the Dodgers championship is fraudulent, then so is Jose Abreu's
Dodgers
MVP.
Dodgers championship is fraudulent, but I mean, what? Jose Abreu was the best player that season.
In 60 games.
Right, but that 60-game regular season was, I think, more authentic than a weird-ass playoffs where a sub-500 Astros team made the playoffs.
You're right, but I'm just saying.
Beck is shaking his head.
We had the exact same conversation last week.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot we did that.
I had this conversation last week, and I was the other way around. Yeah, well, listen, I'm a hypocrite. I'm just being a hypocrite, Brian. God.
8592 says Jake Myers. That's a good answer.
Well, what is Jake Myers' potential? Everyone tells me Jake Myers is amazing.
I think when you go back to like when he first came up, there was a lot more pop and speed
He looked like he was a legit center fielder when he first came up.
I'll be honest. I don't know when he was drafted. What was his draft?
Well, I guess it's more of the potential of what you saw from his before he got hurt. You're not talking about draft potential necessarily.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is kind of a part of it.
No, it definitely is part of it.
I mean, I really, and maybe it's because I was in Seattle when I think he first made his appearance.
Yeah.
But, like, I've never thought twice about Jake Meyers.
3000 says Hunter Brown.
But is Hunter Brown's potential, I think it's like his potential is based off of like a viral post of his pitching mechanics.
I would lean that way, like while because he was never a top prospect in baseball, right? He was never one of those guys that was a number one prospect in baseball. 0061 gives the real, probably best answer, I would say. And I saw this on the Twitch as well. Forrest Whitley. Like, your real potential. Now, he'll never be a starter, but if he's an elite bullpen arm, after all of the Forrest Whitley nonsense we've all been dealing with since, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'd be a huge win for the Astros this year. If he's really good this year, that would be great. That'd be great.
Jalen Green was brought up on the text line.
Jalen Green is probably another.
Jalen Green,
good
of all the guys on it, is probably number one.
Yeah, because if Jalen Green's everything you want him to be as a prospect, take out the nonsense Kobe comparisons that people try to put on him in the draft. But just if you have one superstar in an NBA team, it means so much more than anything besides having a quarterback. If Jalen Green's a superstar, you're a real playoff team next year. If he is the player you want him to be, it's everything. So Jalen Green's probably a very good answer as well. I kind of want to put John Mechie in this conversation.
John Mechie could. I mean, Mechie was thought to be a first-round pick at one point.
I'm trying to think. Anything else on the text? Framber Valdez. He hasn't reached his potential yet?
Yeah, I think he already has.
Maybe it's because he hasn't been consistent enough.
Yiner Diaz. I suppose if Yiner Diaz has another season at the plate like he just had, is that the anomaly because he wasn't behind the plate every single day? I am curious about extended reps for Yiner Diaz.
Yeah, what they look like?
With him also being a catcher on a everyday basis.
This I still wonder, this goes back to the Yordan Alvarez left field thing. I wonder how much Caratini is going to catch this year. It might be more than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might really try to give Yiner more days off than we want. As much as it would annoy me at first, and it will annoy a lot of other people too, especially from 3 to 6, would it stun you if Victor Caratini became like the catcher for one of the big names, and Yiner became an off day guy?
Well, given
when Verlander was on the mound,
given that Dusty Baker made it seem like some of these Astros pitchers are obsessive compulsive freaks.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, like Verlander is like, I need to have a personal valet in center field, and it must be this way and that way. It wouldn't shock me. No,
no.
I wonder who will be the one to do this. Like, no, Caratini's mine. I get to work with Caratini.
Who wants Caratini the most?
The Italians. They want him.
Do we have any Italians in the rotation?
No, they want his last name because he's Puerto Rican.
Is JP France Italian?
That would be funny. But no,
his last name is France, but he's an Italian.
Francesi.
All right, we are going to do a draft in the next segment.
Hell yeah!
In honor of Paul giving me the Kool-Aid Man treatment earlier.
Oh, yeah! I forgot about that.
We're going to do just a couple picks each. Cartoon characters, commercials, whatever you want. Not real people, best football players. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the Decoy and Spring Branch. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can find us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes. 0265 after the last segment asked, what happened to all this hype about Forrest Whitley being this number one pitcher, and now he's trash? I mean,
I don't know if he's trash, but
he just can't stay healthy.
And he had that suspension.
Yeah, like last year when he started pitching in Sugarland, his fastball was good. Like the raw numbers looked good, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't translating to anything.
Right.
And then he got hurt again. So it's just all a hope. So if you wanted to go back in time, did you have a name in mind about players that didn't live up to their potential? Because you asked if we were doing current players. I don't want the answer to be the Sean Watson, because I kind of like that CJ Stroud's the quarterback instead.
I think Watson lived up to his potential, to be perfectly
honest. Oh, really?
I mean, did we think Watson was going to be the best quarterback in the NFL or a good quarterback?
I thought he'd be a top five.
Yeah, it's good.
Was he a top five quarterback at one point, you thought?
Maybe. I don't know. It was weird. I mean, they were 4-12, and everyone was like, he's so good.
The numbers were good.
He's so good. And I remember hearing that. I'm like, well, yeah, but they're not winning, so something's up here.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that, like, I thought for a while Watson was damn good. Potential that did not work out for pass players. There's a long list there.
That's such a rabbit hole to go down.
That is quite the Pandora's box to open. Just for the sake of saying one, Brock Osweiler.
I hate that take.
What? I mean, he was so bad, and they made it to the second round of the playoffs.
I know.
If he was good,
I know.
What happens?
Yeah. You're right.
And I mean, it was such a horrible year. Like, they were winning. They were in the playoffs. And I remember, like, I've had a bunch of moments in the many trips I've had to NRG Stadium where I've just, like, got up and left the press box and just started wandering around. You could play, like, the sad Hulk music in the background from the TV show The Hulk. I don't know if you ever watched it. But at the end of every episode, after he's transformed back from being Lou Ferrigno,
uh-huh.
he just walks down and there's this piano in the background as he's, like, hitchhiking. And it goes, like, that was me at NRG Stadium multiple times. And it's understandable when the team stinks and Davis Mills is the quarterback for the Texans-Titans game. There was Malik Willis versus Davis Mills. But there were moments during the season with Brock Osweiler where I had to get up and I had to walk around.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate this. I hate this. I hate that he's the quarterback of this very good team.
What a question this is, Paul. Do y'all believe that Joe Mixon is the best running back in Houston Texans history? No. No.
Arian Foster, stop.
He won't even sniff Arian Foster. He might easily be number two by the end of the season. Low bar. It's a really low bar. I mean, Lamar Miller's number two. The all-time leading rushers is like one of my favorite things in Houston Texans history. Because David Carr is still in the top 10, I think.
Oh, no, number two, your guy.
Who?
Packers legend. Amon Green.
Oh, stop. He wasn't good
here.
He was
horrible here.
He was so bad. All right, so cartoon characters, commercial characters, wherever you want to go with it, as football players. I'll give you the first pick.
Okay. As football players.
As football players. Which one do you want on your squad?
Tony the Tiger.
What?
He's a tiger.
He's a tiger.
He's a tiger. He has a little bit of he's got earrings. He's a little freaky deaky to him.
Okay.
No, I want Tony the Tiger. They're great. Like that's his public persona.
I mean, that's a good pregame speech.
He's gonna pump you up and then he's gonna rip you to shreds because he's a tiger.
Now, can I ask you? I have an ethical question about this draft.
Please.
Can I steal something from the text line if it's so much better than anything I had?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Why'd you say that? You should have just taken it.
Because I'm an honest person, Paul.
You're
an honest person. I'm trying. Okay. I want to be a more honest person.
I want to
be like Paul Gallant when I grow up.
No, you don't.
I want to be hungover still at 2:38 on a Thursday. So I'm stealing this. The Tasmanian Devil as a running back. Let's go. Think about what he did in Space Jam. I mean, like,
I don't think he'd fit in the system.
All you had to do, give him the ball, gone, touchdown, easy, every single time.
Yeah, but would he be like Damian Pierce and Bobby Slowick's offense? Would he understand what he's doing out there?
No, I don't think so. But I think he'd find he'd make the hole.
The
Cougs are boat racing TCU early.
It
is 14-0 with 13:15 left to go in the first.
Yeah, they killed Kansas like this as well. They are on absolute fire right now.
Yeah, Cougs are going to win it all this year.
Hell yeah.
All right.
So you're going to take the Tasmanian Devil.
I'm taking the Tasmanian Devil. Okay. Yeah.
Someone texted in Johnny Bravo. Bravo, I think, is more of a baseball player with that massive upper torso.
I hated that show.
Oh, well, that's because you're not a cool guy like me. I love Johnny Bravo.
You did?
Yeah, I loved it.
It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me.
So, someone else is saying Foghorn Leghorn. I do say. That would be another annoying person in the locker room. The Tasmanian Devil, like, imagine talking to him. He's like...
Oh, it's like the Farmer Dan
from
Waterboy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough conversation. That is such a sneaky... I do love that movie.
The Jolly Green Giant as a tight end. So
nope.
Someone from the 4-9. Why
too
not?
Slow.
You could move him to tackle. You could be a swing tackle.
Yeah, I feel like as a tackle you're good, but I'm not drafting a tackle here. I'm looking for star players.
Someone's saying Skeletor as an edge rusher? No. Skeletor is literally bones.
We just got two people texting in Roadrunner.
Yep, that would work.
Yep.
Beep, beep. But I feel like, listen, I think the coyote was just a dumbass.
That was a good beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
Yeah.
It was? Okay. Well, well, honestly, how did the coyote miss all those times? Because if that thing gets hit, like, that thing's dead. Right? I mean, that is the skinniest of skinny frames. I mean, you think Bryce Young's little. Roadrunner, one hit, goodbye. That he can't play football. He's a track star.
All right, who do you want next? Let's do two rounds.
Okay. And we're talking mascots, because I was doing the Kool-Aid Man all the time. The Kool-Aid Man literally can bust through walls.
Yeah, I was thinking, thought that was going to be your first pick.
I mean, I could just pander to my Irish heritage and take the Lucky Charms Leprechaun, because, like, you're always going to have, your team's always going to have money, because he's going to be able to find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Trix Rabbit's definitely a crackhead, so I'm definitely going with I gotta go to my roots, the Kool-Aid Man. Oh yeah!
I mean, it's such a good.
You bust through walls.
Yeah, it's so.
You're
good.
You're done for.
I wish they bring the Kool-Aid Man back. Hmm? Like, why can't the Kool-Aid Man? Why did the Kool-Aid Man have to go away?
I don't know. Mr. Clean.
That's a good one.
Definitely seems like he's in good shape. I don't know what position he'd play though.
I'll take the Caveman. The Geico Caveman.
Why?
I just feel like he'd be an elite defensive end.
He's not confident in himself. Clearly second-guessing himself all the time. A couple people are saying Speedy Gonzalez. He's a mouse. Step on him.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be tough to get him the ball. I did like the Hey Arnold because his head's shaped like a football.
No. No, not football head.
You know,
Helga would have been the best football player.
Oh, that's a good point.
Probably. Because
Helga was savage.
Girls are, at that age, generally, like, better, like, taller and bigger than boys at that age. So, I don't know. Helga, I think, would have been a good football player. All the kids are Hey Arnold.
Optimus Prime, quarterback. That's a good call. I feel like you'd be having a Transformer as your quarterback. Hard to tackle.
Goody two-shoes. Grimace is left guard. No, I think Grimace would be out of the league really quickly because of those Grimace shakes that probably got a little codeine in them.
Ed from Ed and Eddie? No.
I feel. Where did this be? I thought it was mascots for.
I don't know.
It turned into cartoons.
It just turned into full
somehow.
Cartoons.
Yeah.
Popeye. I like Popeye. Popeye would be good on my football team. I get the spinach, get the team healthy. Everyone be in good shape after that. I feel like we got a lot of good options here. All right, coming up next, we will wrap up the show, and then it will be time for garbage time. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
And when I get home, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make myself a Rodeo Mary, thanks to my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Look, your boy went to the rodeo last night. He had a few too many. Is he struggling right now? I don't know. All I know is that I love Pendleton Whiskey. And you can mix this with so many different concoctions and make your own cocktail, like the Rodeo Mary. Yeah, it's Pendleton's and Bloody Mary mix. It's fantastic stuff. Pendleton Whiskey, it's smooth, it's refreshing. Whenever I get it, and I'll probably get one while I'm out here as well, one rock, two fingers worth of Pendleton Whiskey. It's smooth, it's refreshing, it's true Western tradition made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It's Pendleton Whiskey, it's true Western tradition.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at a Decoy in Spring Branch.
Final segment here on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So many different suggestions for these cartoon characters, commercial people, characters to be on your football team. See, we got Spider-Man. Doesn't count. Too good. You gotta be a little reasonable here.
Underage.
You can't
as well.
Take super. You can't take. That's
he's
right.
He's a teenager.
Yeah, that's okay.
He's not ready.
I mean, he went to Germany to fight Captain America when he was a teenager.
Wow.
He did.
Fighting Captain America in Germany.
Yep.
Cancel him.
17 years old. 16 years old, maybe, even when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
He went to space when he was like 18.
You're a big Marvel guy, aren't you?
I am.
I used to be.
I am. Well, when'd you stop?
I stopped when it was hard to watch all the movies because there's so many. But also, The Eternals is the biggest piece of dog crap I've ever seen in my life.
I tried. I put that on the other day.
So bad. And then they add Harry Styles at the end with the stupid goat boy. I don't know what the hell they were trying for there.
Because I watched it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it wasn't theater. I can't remember if that was a COVID movie or not. But the first time I saw it, I was like, it's okay. And I was just like bored. Kid was sleeping. Not doing much. I was like, let's throw on Eternals. Why not? I last about 10 minutes. I'm like, this movie sucks.
So bad.
It is the worst Marvel movie.
It's like, you know, Marvel had a strategy of every movie is going to be a little fun. And that one, there was no fun in that at all.
Yeah.
Instead of the guy from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, it was just bizarre.
Not good.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was not a good movie. The Cougs are up 16-4 right now in the Big 12 championship
game. There was
game.
A moment in this game with about 10 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first half where TCU, Joe, had 0 points.
Yeah, they were 0-14 from the field.
I mean, TCU just looks like absolute dog doo-doo right now. Holy smokes.
And before we get to garbage time, former Houston Texan DJ Reader has a new home. He's going to be a Detroit Lion.
Oh.
That's an interesting move.
Good for the Lions. Good for DJ, too. He goes to another contender.
Another contender. All right, it's time for garbage time here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Glad you brought up Spider-Man.
Uh-oh. Spider-Man get canceled?
Nicolas Cage has had conversations about being Spider-Man Noir in an upcoming live-action series. I believe that's from the Into the Spider-Verse person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm here for that, baby. I'm here for, essentially, a 1930s detective version of Spider-Man. Especially if it's played by Nicolas Cage.
My biggest issue with Nick Cage is not really an issue
How
with him.
How dare you, first off,
and no, I have just, an issue with I him. I just said it's not with him. It's with Disney.
Yeah.
He said that there's going to be no National Treasure 3.
Oh, National Treasure sucked.
Really?
I watched it for the first time in the last 2 years.
Are one of those movies that are not good movies.
I don't understand why that movie and all the Nicolas Cage movies gets hyped. They didn't even let Nicolas Cage be Nicolas Cage. They didn't let him cook. They did not let Nicolas Cage cook. They basically just made him be a normal person. And it wasn't believable. I'm sorry. Let Nick Cage be a freak.
I like Nick Cage. I like the Treasure movies.
You like the Treasure movies?
I did. I thought those were solid. What's his best movie for you?
The three movies that came out in a year.
Okay.
The Rock.
Okay.
Con Air.
Okay.
And Face Off.
Okay.
All three of those together.
All of them?
All of them together, yeah.
I love Gone in 60 Seconds.
Can you guess what Aaron Rodgers, Joe, was doing when he found out that he might be running for vice president?
Oh, this is a great question.
What was Aaron Rodgers doing when he found out?
Oh, man. I'm going to guess he was high, doing ayahuasca.
He was on an ayahuasca retreat.
Oh.
He was on an ayahuasca retreat. You can't make it up.
Of course he was.
Oh, boy.
He's so something. He's something. They are going to RFK is going to announce his vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
In Northern California.
Okay.
Where Aaron Rodgers is from.
I like it.
I can't. I need it to happen.
I need the chaos.
I want it to happen so badly.
We might like, since Jake's been on the national stuff, I might just let us air that disaster ball. I just want to hear it. We'll have to pull cuts from it or something.
Yeah.
Just the temper tantrum meltdown the Jets fan will have.
I love that they still like wake up the next day and they believe that things will be better. It's a great mindset to have.
Okay. Apparently, the Houston Texans did not trade Malik Collins for a seventh round pick.
Oh.
We have breaking news?
I don't know. 49ers officially acquired defensive lineman Malik Collins from the Houston Texans. Oh, never mind. Okay, I misread the tweet. I thought
Joe George read it.
No, it said
the hungover one.
It says two 2024 seventh round picks, but it's the first of the two. It's the first of the two. My B.
Sean, do we have more breaking news? Or
I just can't read.
Is the breaking news that Joe can't read?
I can't read.
That's the breaking
news. That's the breaking news? Okay.
What else you got?
I don't know. I kind of want to just put some words in front of you and see what happens.
Okay. Let's go to BarstoolSports.com.
Did you see Garrett Cole getting harassed by paparazzi?
Yeah, I did.
What's your thoughts on paparazzi? Are these just hardworking Americans trying to, you know, earn dollars for their families?
I just don't get how you get to that point in your life.
Where you end up being that person?
Yeah, like, what is it? Like, are you a journalist? Or wanting to be a journalist? Or wanting to just be a photographer? I would imagine that whatever it is that you failed mightily in your life, if you're a paparazzi.
It probably sucks. I'm curious as to, like, how much you get paid for these videos of people just walking around, especially now. Like,
yeah.
Back in the day when people didn't all have cell phone cameras and stuff, I could see how it theoretically would work. But now, I truly do not understand.
Yeah, I don't understand. Because now it's, I can't, even TMZ... Like, they're probably not paying for stuff like they used to. Now they're paying for, like, real unavailable video that they're buying from people that basically is illegal at this point. But, yeah, I don't like paparazzi. They're just kind of weird to me.
Yeah, it's a weird life.
I just can't imagine that life. Being like, hey, X celebrity is here. But even, like and this is no disrespect to Mark Berman. But, like, even the Mark Berman life of, like, going to the airport...
That's miserable.
And, like, trying to get an interview for 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they'll air it on television. It seems like an exhausting life. I would rather be a billion things than do that with my life.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that. Garrett Cole, to his credit, showed some restraint there. We all know that Undisputed,
mm-hmm.
in a post-Shannon Sharp world, ain't doing so great. Terms of the numbies, speak for your pizza show. You know, it's one of those shows that's basically on mute at the gym. It seems they are going to bring Paul Pierce aboard the show.
Uh-oh.
Is Paul Pierce going to save Undisputed?
No.
I think it could, but they have to let Paul Pierce cook. Like, they got to let my guy Nick Cage cook. They got to let Paul Pierce bring strippers on the air.
I don't think that you can save that show.
Yeah, well, if Paul Pierce is bringing strippers in and pooping his pants and getting wheelchaired out, I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No.
I would watch the show if Paul Pierce gets to be the Paul Pierce that we have come to know and love.
I think it's because, honestly, Paul Pierce might be fun if he's on a different show. I think that America is telling Fox Sports that we're done with Skip. I think it's what it is. I think people are done with Skip. It's not about Shannon Sharpe leaving. I like Keyshawn. I like some of the guys they bring in. I like Sherman. It's Skip. Skip's the problem.
I don't get how he ever was a thing. But, hey, if you're a columnist for the Dallas Cowboys during their heyday.
But, well, honestly, was he? Like, was he ever really a thing without Stephen A.? Like, the ratings were not good for Cold Pizza.
Yeah, he's... it's
Like Salisbury's my guy, but, like, that show
I've
had
never
awful ratings.
I've never understood his TV presence.
Yeah.
I've never understood.
Like, that show was only ever good with Stephen A. When Stephen A. was gone, it wasn't good. When it came back, it was fine. It's just... I think that the world has exposed the fact that Stephen A. was the star of the show.
100%.
And Skip Bayless was not. Paul, I will not be here tomorrow.
Okay.
DJ coming in?
Yes, we're going to have DJ Bieniemy sticking around.
Yeah, so he's
got 1 o'clock, I think.
He's going to come in, break down all that's going on in Texas free agency. So that'll be tomorrow on the show. I'll be off. I'll be back on Monday with you guys at noon. But the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Brian McDonald live from the Decoy is up next. Goodbye.
Peace.
97.5.